Alison Ferns here with you on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey until 4 o'clock. I hope your Monday's going well. If you are having a bad day, think on. It's not as bad as the IT worker who just managed to email all 1.2 million NHS staff by accident. Ouch. This IT worker managed to send one of those test emails to every single person who works for the NHS, and it's caused chaos because people are then replying all to say, I don't think this email is meant for me. Oh, dearie, dearie me. Talking of technology, I'm joined by Fevzi, our gadget detective. We've all done it, haven't we, Fevzi? You press that button, send, and then you think, oh, no, I've sent it to the wrong person.
Yeah. There are apps that stop people sending messages whilst drunk.
Really? Yeah. Right, okay, you need to send me all of the details on this.
No, it makes you do like a mathematical puzzle or something that it assumes you can't do if you're a bit worse for wear.
Because there should be something on mobile phones, like a kind of breathalyzer that you have to breathe into before it lets you phone your ex or text that person.
That's a good idea for an app, because I tell you something, there is an app, for example, and this is a serious thing, that can detect the early signs of Alzheimer's disease from the tremble in the voice. This is on a smartphone, from the tremble in your voice and a small tremble in your hand. Then it can pick it up and it can tell you, you know, go to the doctor, you may need to have some tests, that sort of thing.
Clever.
And those are very subtle trembles. That's before, you know, you or I would notice either of those things. So how hard would it be
to detect a slur?
To detect a raving drunk?
Why has somebody not done that? We need to work on this. Obviously, this is an app in the making. This time next year. Now, talking of gadgets, I need your help. Where can I find myself a Hatchimal? I need to get my hands on the must-have gift of 2016. Completely sold out.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a problem. I'll find out.
I'll
email you.
Yes, do it. Talking of presents, though, particularly technological presents, Austin calls from Storrington on this. So I understand you bought a drone for Christmas. Is that right, Austin?
Good afternoon to you, Alison. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, brilliant. No, I bought it. I've got 12 grandchildren, so I haven't really decided who's going to get it. And
you're going to keep it for yourself, aren't you, Austin? Come on, you can level with us.
I bought it on the 5th. It was delivered on the yesterday. And I thought, right, well, I don't know. I kept looking at it. I thought, I'd better take it out and just check it up. I've got 24 spare batteries as well with it off the old television shopping. And I thought, right. So I absolutely to the letter followed every instruction on how to assemble this thing, got it all together, and just pressed the button, nothing at all happened. I'd parted with £56, so I thought, right, I'll look through the paperwork, and I found it said as a piece of paper, and I just saw that it had been torn in half, and it says return slip, and it's all little dots underneath it where someone has taken return slip away, which is just the top part of it.
Yes.
So then I decided I would ring the company, or I couldn't get through to them, so then I waited until they came on the television this night, that's yesterday, and took their number, and I thought, right, so I rang the number and said, only if you're going to buy anything from us can you use this number. So now I can't get in touch with them, and I'm frantic like yourself, who've been chucking it around to try and find your Hogel thing.
Hatchimal, but you're close.
And I thought, right, now this is so, coveted by about three of the 12 children. I thought, right, well, I must try and get this sorted for them.
Because gadget gifts are a big thing, aren't they, this time of year, Fevzi? And a lot of people will kind of be buying gadgets that perhaps aren't used to buying such things.
Yes, and often they need quite a bit of setting up, and there's always the possibility that some of them don't work. So, Austin, with regards to this problem, is there a customer service number? Don't name the company for the moment.
No, I won't.
Is there a customer service number that's published anywhere?
Well, no. You see, it would be on the return slip, and it's been carefully torn off before I got it. Right.
Do you think maybe someone's already returned it, and so that return slip's already been used?
Well, no. It was completely, beautifully packaged. And I took it out and opened it all up. It's a clone. And I thought, yeah, that's fine. Absolutely. That should work fine.
Did you buy it on a credit card?
No. Well, no, I bought it cash over on my plastic card, yeah. And they took about the £56 off. But the thing was, you know, on the side of the box, after I'd read all the instructions, I looked at the big box and I thought, let's see if I can find some name who to ring or telephone or whatever, send flags messages to get this changed or get my money back. And it said in very small print that, you know, please be aware, if you're living in a certain country, you may find that they don't accept the electricity that's being used to use your machine. And I thought, I wonder if that's what the problem is.
Okay, Austin. So you're unlikely to find the information you need on the box, because the box is probably manufactured in China. They probably haven't haven't put their own sticker on it or anything like that. Yeah. You need, I don't know if you've got access to the internet or if you know someone who has who can just look it up for you, but just go to that, you said it's an online shopping channel, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Just go to that online shopping channel's website. They will have one because they also sell through the web, and look for customer service. Failing that, any number, irrespective of whether it's their sales line or not, just ask them to give you the right number for customer services. In terms of your rights, you're absolutely within your rights to return a faulty product within that time scale. As you say, it only arrived yesterday. You mentioned that you'd bought it on a plastic card. Was that card a credit card or a debit card?
No, I paid for the whole thing straight away.
But did you pay? Yeah, but did you pay for it on a card?
It was my bank card.
It's just a normal debit card, so you don't have so just for others listening, you can have protection under the Consumer Credit Act, where the credit card company becomes equally liable for the transaction as the vendor.
And apparently, though, Fevzy, they have a similar thing now with debit cards. We only found this out last week on the show with our guy from the consumer. Ombudsman, the retail ombudsman guy was saying they've set one up for direct debits.
Mr. Denham.
Yes, that's it. You know them all, don't you, Fevzy? Yeah, he was saying there is a similar thing set up. Listen, Austin, this isn't on and I'm not having it. So let me know what happens. If not, I'm going to pass you...
No.
Yes, I'm going to pass you back. No, we won't. I'm going to pass you back to David, who's producing the programme. He's going to get your details. I'm going to give you a call later. And if there's any problems, I'm going to get in touch with them myself. Because you can't be £56 out of pocket because you've got other Christmas presents to buy. It's not on. It's not okay.
This guy was doing an absolutely superb demonstration. I thought, that is exactly it. I must get it. I think they were kept saying, well, we're running out of stock. We're running out of stock.
Oh, yeah, that old chestnut. They're always running out of stock, Austin.
Yeah. Austin, did they say they were flying out the door?
Yeah. We've only got two left. Listen, Austin, we're going to get your money back, OK? We're going to sort this for you. Don't you worry. I'm going to pass you back to David now, and we'll get all the details, and I shall be in touch. I tell you what, that shopping channel doesn't know what's about to hit, does it, Fevzy?
Isn't it funny how they have free phone numbers when you want to buy something?
Oh, yeah.
They hide the customer service.
Yeah, when you want to complain.
You never find it.
It's not so easy to get hold of them, is it? No. But it's a really interesting thing, I think, that Austin highlights, because there will be a lot of people buying, you know, gadget-type gifts for Christmas present. I mean, particularly drones. I mean, last year, drones were really big, weren't they?
Absolutely. And they continue to be. I mean, they're getting more sophisticated with you know, HD cameras on them and all sorts, and then there are the ones that are sort of indoor models only, which are sort of like frippery but fun, and then there is some quite serious bits of kit, and there's people taking very, you know, high quality HD images. It takes a bit of practice to fly them, but they're the sort of thing you can get them for sort of £15 or £1,500 or more. I mean, there's a wide range of them, but it's an interesting thing, because with a gadget, I mean, we like to give sealed boxes as presents, don't we? But actually, I think, particularly if it's something that has arrived a good deal before Christmas Day, you know, you don't want to lose any additional rights that you may have if you've got like a 14-day or 30-day returns period from the company over and above what you have by law.
So you want to check it's working, basically.
Yeah, because consumer law has been weakened last year. I mean, we used to have 14 days in which you could return it for refund for any reason. Now you can't necessarily return it for any reason, and it has to, when you return an item, if it's not faulty and you just return it within the what used to be called distant selling regulations, you have to return it in saleable condition, i.e. that another person has to think that it's new and believe that it's new, and that's problematic. Otherwise they can charge effectively a restocking fee, and we've been used for many years to consumer legislation getting stronger and stronger in favour of the consumer, but actually last year the rules changed, and I think on balance they favour the vendors more than they used to do. So be careful and make sure that if you've got any additional rights from the vendor themselves over and above, then make sure you can use those and pay on a credit card, not a debit card, not a charge card. So some American Express cards are charge cards, for example. That doesn't count. If you've got a credit card, I know you said about the debit card, I will look into that because that's interesting. I don't suppose it can come under the Consumer Credit Act in that it's not credit. It's if electronic check, effectively. So I'm not sure how that works, but I will learn.
You look that up. You've just made me think, though, if I do go ahead and buy one of these Hatchimals that you can't get your hands on for love nor money online on one of these auction sites, and then that doesn't work,
yeah,
and I've paid double or triple the price, I'm a little bit scuppered, aren't I?
Yeah, I mean, your rights on auction sites tend to be less. Mm. And different as well, and it depends who the vendor is, whether they're a business or an individual. But I
might have to think again.
They have the. I mean, I tend to use auction sites for things that are no longer available new. I tend not to use them for anything that could be counterfeit. So things like.
It might be a fake Hatchimal. I never even thought about that.
Things like, I mean, Austin there mentioned batteries, for example. Batteries, rechargeable batteries, memory cards, all those sorts of things. They can be faked and often are.
Right.
It's quite rife on
you've got to be so careful.
And it's very hard because you get a micro SD card that says 256 gigabytes on there. And it might not
be anything of the sort.
Yeah.
Talking about Christmas presents, I cannot wait to find out more about your gadget of the week, Fevzy. I've seen this thing. It's called the Amazon Dot. It is a voice-controlled virtual assistant.
Yes.
And I reckon there'll be a few of these on Christmas lists this year. We'll find out more about that after we've spoken to Lynn in Newdigate. Lynn, you don't often get a Hatchimal, do you?
No, sorry.
No worries. I'm not giving up without a fight. You've called about your iPhone 5. It won't charge.
Yeah, well, it's being very temperamental and I'm a bit worried about it. I've got several different cables. Some are Apple, some aren't. But it doesn't really like to charge. And when it does get fully charged up, it runs out very quickly.
Yeah. Okay, so it's an iPhone 5. So how old is that since you?
Quite ancient.
Yeah. So the battery in any mobile phone is a lithium-ion battery, and it is good for a certain number of recharge cycles.
Right.
So I don't mean how long it lasts per charge, but how many times you can charge it before it stops charging all the way to the top.
Okay.
And what you will find over a period of time after a few hundred recharge cycles, which I suspect an iPhone 5 may well have had by now, you'll find that it now only charges to 80% and 60%, and it goes down and down until eventually it doesn't really hold the charge for any useful time at all. So the likelihood is that the battery has had it. Unfortunately, with iPhones, as with many modern smartphones, the battery is sealed into the phone. It's not, you can't slide the back off it and take the battery out and swap it yourself.
Mm.
So it's something that you should go back to Apple for and ask them. Now, one thing you can do before you stump up the money is Apple's smartphones, they have they record their recharge history, how many times they've been charged, how they've been treated in terms of those recharges. And if they look at it and say, well, look, even though this battery is, this phone is out of warranty and it's a few years old, it may be that when they look at the stats that it hasn't behaved as well as it should have done in terms of the number of recharge cycles it's given you. So it's worth getting them to run a diagnostic, and you can ring up Apple or Apple Care over the phone. and ask them to do that. And I think they can run that diagnostic remotely. Otherwise, you may have to take it into an Apple store, which at this time of year, good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that one, Lynn.
It might be easier to buy a new one.
Yeah, it'd be easier to buy a Hatchimal. Now, obviously, I have never said this. I never would. But I have heard some people say that perhaps Apple have a sort of built-in obsolescence with some of these iPhone handsets. And actually, if you've had your 2 years out of it, then you're probably doing fairly well.
Yes, I think it's probably double that, Ellie. Mm. And may I ask another question?
Of course.
Right. Wi-Fi boosters, Fevzi.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to use my phone in an outhouse, which is 20 foot away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a router thing plugged in the house, but I just can't get anywhere with it. No internet, nothing.
Okay, so when you say you'd like to be able to use your phone, you mean to use your phone to access the internet via Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Okay, and you're outside the range. Okay, so there are a number of possibilities of what you can do with this. I mean, the most basic one is you run an incredibly long Ethernet cable out to there, and you have something that does Ethernet to Wi-Fi, and you set up a little hotspot there,
right.
And you can buy the gizmo for about £15 that will do that. That's obviously a pain because you're running a long cable, but actually technically it's not a bad solution. Alternatively, if it was a part of the house where there were electrical sockets, you can get devices that come in pairs, and you plug, they basically send the internet signal over the mains wiring. So have you, the remote location, has it got main sockets in it?
Yes, it has, yes.
Okay, so that might be something to try, that you can, Netgear and various other companies do these devices. And they, as I say, they come in pairs. So one, you plug in near the router where your internet comes into your home, and you run a internet cable, an Ethernet cable from the router into the device that's plugged into your mains wiring. The other one you plug in at the far end, and then that can either give you an Ethernet cable out, or if in your case where you want to use Wi-Fi, you get one that generates a Wi-Fi signal using the internet that it's scooped in from the home wiring network.
Okay.
Now, when these work, they work very, very well, but it really depends on how your house is wired and the particular spurs that each socket is on. So whenever you buy this, you should buy it from a retailer which is going to be very good at returning it without any questions asked.
Okay.
If it doesn't work,
so give it a go, and
some of those famous online retailers with good returns policies where they'll pick it up from your home and take it back and give you a full refund. That's the one I would go for, because there's a good chance that won't work.
Right.
The third option was what's called a Wi-Fi repeater, which is a device that sits part way between the router and where you want to use the internet, and it collects up the last of the Wi-Fi signal and then squirts it out again at full strength.
Right.
The problem with that is if for example you've got a shed at the bottom of the garden, then that would put the repeater halfway along your garden, which isn't ideal. So I would try, if you've got mains sockets, I would try the mains devices and see if they will work for you. And be aware that they are not all alike, because some of them will support faster speeds than others.
I'm loving the sound of your outhouse, though, Lynn. What do you use it for?
Oh, various things, but I'm out there quite a bit at the moment. So,
so what is it? Sort of in my head, I'm seeing one of those kind of wooden lodges.
Not quite.
No. Okay. But beautiful.
It'd be handy just to get anything out there, basically.
Sure.
People can speak to people on the moon or Mars or whatever, so it'd be nice to be able to just 20 foot away. It would be very handy.
Can I just ask you a question? I mean, am I right in thinking that you can't get a sort of wireless data signal there from 4G?
No, nothing. It's just really...
It's a dead spot.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. I mean, would bushes and trees make any difference? Bit of a dumb question.
Some, but not a great deal. I mean,
right.
If you were to sort of walk around with your smartphone and just see what bars appear, so it will say something, you'll show you a number of bars, and then it'll say something like 4 or 4G or 3G.
3G, Sometimes, but never fall.
I have visions of you now, Lynn, axe in hand, hacking away at trees around the outhouse. I will get a Wi-Fi signal if it kills me.
The other possible solution to this is it could be that that's on your particular network and another network might do better. So you could get what's sort of generically known as a MiFi unit, where it's a device that's sort of smaller than a bar of soap, and it takes a SIM card like a mobile phone, and it's specifically for data, so you could get it with a different network, and then that thing becomes a Wi-Fi hotspot that multiple devices can log on to.
So many options, Lynn. Let us know how you get on with your outhouse. Fevzi, we're nearly out of time and I haven't even heard from Dot, the voice-controlled virtual assistant. Can you hang on for us?
Yes, sure, no problem.
Fabulous. Now, though, we're talking gadgets with Fevzi, our gadget detective. Bless Sue in Billingshurst. She's found me a Hatchimal on Amazon. And they're about double or triple the price. But do you think I should go for it? Bite the bullet. Buy a really expensive one. At least then I've got it. Then hopefully I can buy one at a normal price and then resell the expensive one. Or is that immoral? It is, isn't it? Oh, dear. The moral dilemmas facing parents this Christmas.
You might find the market dies away. By the way, just a word about purchasing from Amazon. So you know that when you buy from Amazon, you can either buy from them directly or from what's called a marketplace reseller, which is effectively a third party, not Amazon, that is reselling through the Amazon website. If you are going to do that, the best way to do it is to have something sold by the third party if it needs to be, but then is fulfilled by Amazon, and it will say so. So it will say sold by and fulfilled by. What that means is that third party puts their stock with Amazon. Amazon are responsible for sending it out, but most importantly, Amazon's returns policy applies, even though it wasn't sold by Amazon, because it was fulfilled by them, which means you get the same money back period, and they will not really quibble.
That's worth knowing.
They don't really quibble with you, you know, if you're not completely happy, they'll do something about it. Whereas if it's fulfilled by the third party, I mean, some third parties are excellent, but you know, you're not dealing with Amazon at that point.
So you might get...
you need to be a bit careful, because again, you've got a greater chance of
getting ripped off.
Problems, yeah.
David is in Worthing. He makes a good point about drones. Again, we've seen a lot of people buying them as gifts. He says people must abide to the strict aviation rules and regulations when using them. Because that's the thing, isn't it? People buy these things for Christmas and then cause all sorts of problems with them.
Yeah, for example, you're not allowed to fly them out of line of sight. So don't fly them around the corner of a building. You're not allowed to fly them. There's a particular distance with near buildings that you're not allowed to go. There's all sorts of things. And then there's other rules about, you know, the cameras and so forth and people's privacy. So
just be mindful to that. You might be very excited about your new toy, but then you need to be mindful of the rules and regulations that go with it.
And don't macerate your neighbour's dog.
Try not to. Now, talking of gadgets, I mean, this is like something from tomorrow's world, isn't it? This is a voice-controlled virtual assistant. She's called Dot.
Yes.
And apparently she raps. So, forget Honey G. Dot is where it's at.
Yeah. She's about as fluid as Honey G, actually, in terms of movements. But still, so about a month ago, we looked at something called the Amazon Echo, which was a £150 box that did much the same thing. This is, again, from Amazon, but it's called the Dot. And it's got all the same smart technology built into it, but this time it's $49.99. And the difference between them, there are... It doesn't have a big speaker. It only has a sort of a small speaker, so that's not good for music playback. But unlike its more expensive big sister, the Dot has got an audio output jack where you can just plug it into you know, your home hi-fi or an external speaker, or you can link it via Bluetooth to an external speaker. So although the Amazon Echo sounds better out of the box because it's got a bigger speaker, it's still only a mono speaker, and there's no way of linking it to a stereo setup. And one of the things that people will do with this device is play music. So if I say, for example, Alexa, play me music by the Mamas and the Papas. Listen to the pronunciation.
I can't find Consideration by the Mamas and the Papas in your music.
Mamas and the Papas.
I love it. Alexa, play music by the Mamas and the Papas.
Shuffling songs by the Mamas and the Papas.
Alexa, stop.
Oh, yeah, it's not great quality, is it, the music?
Well, that's just a single speaker, but if you put it through your home hi-fi, so actually, if you've got a home hi-fi or anything with an audio input jack on it, or so say something like auxiliary, so your old hi-fi could come to life with a device like this. And
really?
Sound, because we often have fantastic speakers, but we don't use them because they're linked to a tape deck.
How lazy are we, though, nowadays? I mean, what else can Alexa do for us?
Oh, lots. Alexa, can you rap?
My name is Alexa and I'm here to say, I'm the baddest AI in the cloud today. Your responses are fast, but mine are faster. Sucker speech engines, they call me master.
Oh my gosh.
Alexa can rap. Alexa, read me an Audible book.
Getting your book from Audible. Resuming many habits.
Hey, you can't do more. If you really want to run 5
Alexa,
miles
stop.
Today.
So that's
she's very obedient, isn't she, Alexa?
Yeah, stop, yeah. Yes.
Can she tell jokes?
Alexa, can you tell me a joke?
What is black and white and red all over? A sunburned zebra.
Alexa, can you tell me a better joke?
Why can't you give Elsa a balloon? She'll let it go.
I need Alexa in my life. Hours of fun.
Alexa, one more. Alexa, what is the weather in Brighton?
In Brighton, it's 12 degrees with partly sunny skies. Today, you can expect clouds and showers with a high of 12 degrees and a low of 11 degrees.
There you go.
This is a worry. Alexa's going to be presenting the show tomorrow. And this is funny. Dorothy is in Storrington. So she's obviously got one of these devices. So she's got in touch to say her Alexa is responding to you.
Oh, yes. Well, that is the problem. That's one of the reasons why you can change the word that it responds to. So you can either use the word Amazon, the word Echo, or the word Alexa. And that's unfortunate. You can't change it to anything else. Like, I'd call mine Hal.
Just because. And how much do one of these things cost?
So the big one that we saw last month, the Amazon Echo, that's £150. But the small one, which has got all the same smarts in it, is £49.99.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of people getting those for Christmas.
Just connect it to. I mean, it's got a speaker for the basic speech-based stuff. But if you want to listen to music, it's got audio output, which the big one doesn't have. And by the way, you can also use it to control your sort of home automation stuff if you've gone that way. So if you've got an internet-connected thermostat like the Hive, for example, if you've got Philips Hue lighting, you know, that sort of computer controlled lighting, it will do all those, so you can say, you know, lights, you know, and action and whatever else, and it will do it for you. It's almost as good as having friends, I'm told.
Pepsi, on that note, thank you so much. If people want to get in touch with you, if they've got a question, they can do that via Twitter.
Yeah, they can do it at Gadget Detective. Come and say hello. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, or give Alexa, his new virtual assistant, a call. I'm sure she can sort it out for you.